T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Join 560 The Joe and Corona for a watch party this Sunday from 4:30 to 6:30 at Hot Legs in Fort Lauderdale. Enter to win a cooler and a 40-inch TV. That's 560 The Joe and Corona. Watch party Sunday, 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at Hot Legs in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, pour me an ice cold Corona all weekend with a Premier. Yeah, or Light. With an extra.
I like the Premieres.
Whichever one you like the most, for sure. Anyway, we got a football Friday. Got a lot of stuff going on. Larry Bluestein will join us in a few minutes. We'll talk about, after first few weeks, our top 10 poll, big games to get through. Hopefully a lot of them are dry enough before it gets a little bit ugly this weekend. And so we'll have all that stuff, have the latest in high school football for you coming up. And then Brandon Lang will join us, who is in the business of gambling and point spreads. So we'll get caught up, get his take on some games here for the NFL and for college football as well. So we have all that. Speaking of college football, Manny Diaz, along with Minkah Fitzpatrick, making national news. I didn't bring it up yesterday because I did see it yesterday, about verbal commits. He says if you make a verbal commit, shouldn't be visiting other schools. And I disagree with him, by the way. I mean, if you get a guy that's totally in and he's like, I'm in, I'm not taking any trips. But first of all, just because you make a verbal commitment, nobody stops recruiting you. It never stops. Second of all, when you start 0-2 and certain positions that you might be recruiting aren't having success and those guys are using it against you. See, the best thing Manny can do to have more verbal commits stay and not take these trips and make a commitment when it counts for National Signing Day, the early one or the late one, is win games. It's the greatest tool you have. And so you got to get going, man. 0-2 is just, look, they're close games, but they're not good for business. They're not good for business because you're 0-2, and yeah, schools are calling your verbal commitments, and they are telling their recruits, do you want to go through this? You want to lose to the North Carolinas of the world, or you want to come play for us? That's just the way it is. So a verbal commitment is nothing but hot air, man, to me. And we've seen a bunch of guys that have committed here, and you're like, this is where I want to be, but, oh, yeah, I'm going to take a trip to Florida State and take a trip up to Alabama or take a trip to someplace else. And so Manny's getting blasted pretty good nationally for his take on this thing. And I always say this, the best way to keep your verbal commit strong is win football games. It's the best tool you have. It's, you know, if you want to be a Cane and you really want to be a Cane and you know, show us and all that stuff, because these schools are going to keep they're going to keep calling them and texting them and still trying to work on people around these players, especially when your team's not playing well. So for Manny, and, you know, I mean, I get where Manny's coming from, and I got no problem with it, but he better know you're going to get ripped when you're getting on commits for not staying strong and still, even though they're verbally committed, find out they're going to make trips and going on social media to tell everybody they're going to be taking a couple of trips. I mean, the 0-2 is 2-0. That's probably not taking place.
You think that turns off a kid or a kid's family when they hear that from Manny? Someone who's making a decision, someone who
knows.
Because you always talk about when you were being recruited, I know it's a way different situation, but that you were taking other trips no matter what. You know, you were going to go to BYU
any verbal commitments
But you made the trips, and if you would have made a verbal commitment, don't kids just take the trips just to take trips anyway?
I don't remember guys making verbal commitments back then. Now, if you had a school you really wanted to go to.
You just told them you were coming, right.
You said you were coming, but you still took the trips.
But the kid that puts out his top 8 and then his top five, and you're in his top five, and he gave you a verbal commitment, he still got his top five out there and still wants to make that trip to Ohio State,
I think,
or still
turning,
wants to go to UCLA, you know?
I think you're turning people off by telling families, if you're going to play for us, you're not going to take those trips, or you shouldn't take those trips. You're going to turn off some people.
And Alabama could do that. Ohio State could do that. Clemson
honestly
could do that.
I think it's turn off, man. I think that's got to be up. You got to sell them the best you can, and you got to win. You sell them, and then you got to win, and they got to see success specifically at the position they're going to be playing. Like right now, if you're a wide receiver and you're not sure, it's because I got a guy at Alabama catching 10 passes for 160 yards, and you go and you look at all the young, talented guys, and they haven't done anything at the U, it's going to be a turnoff to young wide receivers. That just makes sense. And then on top of that, losing games is just bad for business. Just bad, bad for business with the stuff. And if I was recruiting against UM, I'd be working on all those guys too, man, and trying to get them opened up and get them to take a trip and do all that stuff, because losing is bad for business, man. It's bad for business in the off season and everything else. And then let me just one more thing about verbal commitments. For guys that are two classes away, they're a joke. They're such a joke to get. And I know you got to do them, and they're already talking not only about the recruiting class coming up, but guys that are sophomores that will be juniors. Come on, man. It's so far out. You're asking a 15-year-old kid, 14, 15, probably not 16 yet. He can't even drive, and you're asking him to make the biggest commitment of his life. And so he does it. Kind of like, I mean, how many times have we all said, man, I'll do it? And then it's time you're like, oh, man, why did I do that? Oh, God, man. Hey, your word's your word. You can't ask a teenage kid to be like that. You just can't.
Can you imagine making a decision when you were 15?
No.
Because I can't. No matter what the decision was.
My mother used to say I was day to day. So, yeah.
I can't. I understand it. You want to recruit these kids, and we see the dirtiness of recruiting and you going and talking to a freshman and a sophomore and, you know, just kind of gauging their interest. And where. But, like, you're really going to take a kid's word that's 15 that says, yeah, Coach Diaz, I want to play for you. I want to come to you. You know, like, it doesn't always happen like that. 15-year-olds make a decision today, like you said, a different decision tomorrow, then forget about something. Teenagers, they're supposed to.
Well, and they're getting stroked by everybody. They're getting stroked by all these different schools that are doing. And we got guys recruiting at private schools, eighth graders, freshmen that, you know, look the part and jump on it early. So I don't know. Not a great look for Manny to come out and do it, especially when you're 0-2. It's just not. And saying, hey, you guys, and I understand Manny's love for Miami. I do. I get it all. But, Manny, this team's 0-2. Certain positions aren't having great success. So it's not going to be as attractive as other schools that are winning. And those positions for those kids are going, wow, that could be me. That guy's going to the NFL. That could be me. I got to tell you, if I'm a wide receiver, Alabama's a pretty attractive place for what they've been doing.
You think?
I just threw that one out. It's been a pretty attractive, apparently, for every position because of recruiting classes they've been getting.
And getting drafted, yes.
But anyway, we'll ask Larry Bluestein about that as well and get his take. He may have a completely different take coming up here with our high school football that we're going to have. We're going to be talking about here in South Florida. Last night, South Dade barely. Oh, my God, after getting off and getting a big win against Columbus. Just barely got by Norland last night, so we'll have all that stuff. This Minkah Fitzpatrick story that has now been given, if you're just getting up and you didn't hear about it. Minkah Fitzpatrick, the safety slash plays every position in the secondary, has received permission to seek a trade. Does not like his role of playing multiple positions, and he doesn't like his playing time. 49 snaps in the last game, 49 of a possible 77 snaps he played in. So he was on the side and obviously not very happy. They're saying the Dolphins obviously are looking for significant compensation back.
What does that mean?
That means a first-round pick. But I go back to this. It seemed like just yesterday that I'm listening to those guys like, man, we didn't think – Minkah was going to drop to us, and Nick Saban said this, and Nick Saban said that. Can't believe we're able to get him. Dominates. He's a unique player. We can use him so many different ways. And now all of a sudden, even though he did a nice, really, really nice job last year on a bad defense, we got a guy that's clearly doesn't want to be here now. I think it goes back to Brian Flores. Like, Brian Flores, part of your job as a head coach is to get him to want to stay. And if you got to stroke a guy from time to time, stroke him! So, I mean, you just can't keep losing top first-round picks who are, like, under the age of 25. Those are prime guys, because all it does is open another hole for another position. Hell, pretty soon we're not going to have enough draft picks over the next 2 years to take care of every hole that we have on this team.
Well, there's $100 million to spend, Joe. You can overspend on players too, right?
You got $100 million. Yeah. You got draft picks, but it's
how many holes do you want to go into this draft with, though? I mean, real, like, real holes. Not, you know, trying to, you know, make a position a little bit better because you got a couple guys there. I'm talking about legitimate, we need a guy here. And there's a couple of them so far, and now there's going to be another one if you get rid of Minka.
Yeah. It's there's nothing. Like, I knew he's been frustrated. Everybody's known. You've heard his comments from his mom and Omar and, you know, and not being over the top of certain guys. And there's certain places I'm a lot better. That's where I want to be. And they're going, no, we need you to do this and that. I mean, I get what worked it. And we're still seeing it work at New England. They've given up 6 points in their last two games, going back to the Super Bowl. But that doesn't necessarily mean it works here. It just doesn't. So, that's like Bill Arnsberger had the killer bees and the defense was really good. That doesn't mean, like, somebody else can do the same thing. I get real frustrated and just another punch in the gut when you get up this morning. And again, it may not happen. It may be too much. And everybody said, you know, everybody may go, hey, it's love to have him, but it's too much to give up. We don't want to do it. I hope that's the case. But you still got to work through this, because if he has said, I basically don't want to be here under this role, Coach Flores got to decide. So now we're all going to be watching this weekend to see how much he plays. Does this hurt his playing time now? And how are they going to get through this? Because it's a terrible look. By the way, it's bad for Minka. It looks bad for Minka, basically, but also looks really bad with the Miami Dolphins, who have looked really bad here with this. Because I'm not sure what they're doing. Now we're getting rid of all of our young, talented players, too.
Right, right. Not just the vets.
I know you
right.
got Tunsil. You got a lot for Tunsil. So we're going, okay, it's a lot, but okay. So now we're going to throw Minka. Why don't we just get rid of Xavier now? Why don't we just clean it out and we'll go with a waiver team? Let's see how we do with the waiver reserve team. And then we're guaranteed to get that. We're in pretty good shape to get that.
I think we're okay right now, anyway. Even with Minka there, yeah.
Anyway.
I think Brian Flores needs to just kind of suck it up, put the guy in the right position, and just call it a day. And mend a relationship and keep a Minka around this team. It's good for a rebuild to have a guy like Minka sitting in the backfield.
I hear Coach Flores talking about, you know, working on relationships and making the team stronger. I have trouble believing your team can be strong together when these things go on. And now that some of the guys on team said, we're letting Minka leave, we let Tunsil leave. Like, everybody realizes they're two of your better players. It just can't be good for morale, can't be good for anything. And by the way, it's kind of hard to tell people you want to win games when go find a deal, and if we like it, we'll take it and we'll trade you. That can't be good for trying to win games unless we just go in and go, hey, guys, let's just go play hard. Don't worry about anything else. Just play as hard as you can with whatever ability you have. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a little Larry Bluestein going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We're going to talk high school football with the pride of UNLV, Larry Bluestein, joining us this morning. Blue, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the introduction. UNLV won their first game, but that doesn't bode very well the rest of the season.
Well, I had to give you a little credit there.
They have a little recruiting problem out there, Blue.
Huh?
Have a little recruiting problem out there right now?
Yeah, a lot of recruiting problems. But anyway, I will tell you this. To start this show, I had the best time last night in Northwest Broward watching Douglas against Monarch. That game came down to the last play of the game, 30-26. Douglas stays undefeated. A packed house. It was everything I remembered high school football to be. You know, I can't say enough. I mean, and finally we had one of those games that that lived up to its billing, and certainly enjoyed it. And Douglas was going to kick a field goal to win the game. Bad snap. Kid scooped it up, threw it into the end zone. The kid caught it for a touchdown.
Wow. Oh my God, that's crazy.
You know, I don't have to tell everybody the emotions out there, what's happened over the last year and a half. So certainly to have something that positive on that campus last night was amazing. And I really had a great – you know, I don't often glow about the great times I have at games, but that was really entertaining.
Yeah, you go to a few games, you kind of mess it up a little bit because you get to see everything, which, by the way, this year has been – kind of because all the national games, it's been kind of up and down for all of our teams, and trying to get a read on just about everybody. So let's jump into this a little bit right now. Carroll City, very disappointing so far. Deerfield Beach and Carroll City on the all disappointing teams of South Florida. Carroll City going to play Chaminade. What's your thoughts there?
That's going to be, you know, it's going to go right down to the wire. Carroll City is a nice team, but Chaminade's a two-time defending state champion. They've been to the state championship game 3 years in a row. They have this on campus. Carroll City, and I hate to say it, they bit off more than they can chew when making the schedule. I mean, and the funny thing is they played Northwestern and Central already, and it doesn't get any easier. And that's what they have to go up to Jacksonville to play Trinity Christian. They have to play an Ocala Vanguard team that hasn't lost. You know what? I hate to say it, but, you know, Carroll City's got a bumpy road ahead. And, you know, they've moved down in classification to 4A, and everybody's quick to say, well, they'll run away with this. And not so fast because, you know, Cardinal Gibbons is starting to play really well. Today I'm going to see a really much improved Booker T team going up against Columbus. So, you know, it's so neat to look at the beginning of the year and project, but so far, as you said, our teams are taking some lumps.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so who you like in that game, just so we want to make sure everybody knows where you stand. Carroll City, yeah. Chaminade.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a four-quarter game. I think maybe Chaminade with a kicking game, best kicker in the country, and Borgalis, maybe wins this game at home. Carroll City's got to play four quarters. If they don't, they're going to lose again, and that's to go to 1-3 is going to be really a surprise.
Did you say best kicker in the country?
Yeah, he's a junior. He's committed to the University of Miami. Andy Borgalis.
Can he play now?
Paging Manny Diaz, right?
Yeah. Can we get him in now? We just found a scholarship for early release.
Yeah. Well, he'll get there in 2 years. But once he gets there, that kid's just amazing.
Two years.
So I think it'll come down to the kicking game, and Carroll City's got to wake up. If they don't wake up, it's going to be a really long season.
All right. So Columbus got upset last week. South Dade jumped on him there. What happens? Columbus bounced back against Booker T. What happens?
Bigger team, but then again, Booker T could use the reasoning that they beat at a Popka team that's twice the size of Columbus. I just think they're motivated. The kid Parrish is as good as you get at running back, headed the University of Pittsburgh, even in the loss of South Dade. And look at happened last night. South Dade had a pick late in the game to beat New Orleans, 35-32. So crazy football in South Florida. Columbus needs a bounce back. Booker T is not as deep, so I think that may be the difference there. But don't count out Booker T. They played as tough a schedule as you're going to face, and they came within 3 points of beating a Miami Central team that, you know, you talk about waking up a sleeping giant. Somebody woke up Central. Maybe it was St. Francis, but Central is one of those teams that looks like they could stay the course the rest of the year.
Blue, what about the – I'm going to go to Broward County real quick. What about the University School Crowders versus the Western Fighting Joe Roses? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, the Crowders got their hands full because of the fact that you look at Western, and Joe and I talked about this, deep team, lost to Palmetto in the preseason, which may have, you know, sent them back to the film room and look at everything that they've done. But, yeah, it's going to be tough to beat Western. They're really good on defense. They get things – they have to – two things on offense. University School's a good football team, but they're not a deep team, and that's that seems like it's that's the resounding, you know, a common denominator. If you're not a deep football team, especially with the weather that we've had, guys, especially the humidity, you kind of need that depth. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Western should come out a winner here.
All right, well, we're going to be at that game tonight. That's going to be our Friday night Dolphin game.
Good game.
Bo and I will be out there. I can't believe you're not joining us. Hey, we want to ask you a question. It has to do with recruiting. We're just talking. You probably saw the Manny Diaz story.
Yeah.
Talking about his verbal commitments. He doesn't want him to make trips after they make a verbal commitment to the U, not go to other schools. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's going to lose recruits. And I said this yesterday on a podcast we do. When you're 7-7 in your last 14 games, you can't start dictating. And especially in the landscape of recruiting these days, you just cannot tell a kid not to do that. I mean, it just would be unfair to the athlete. And wouldn't you want these kids to take all the trips to make sure and to know that your product is the product that Manny Diaz and University of Miami is selling? I would. Let him go to Florida State. Let him go to Ohio State. Because at the end of the day, what Manny and Miami has should be better than what these programs offer, and I would want them to do that. I really would. I would want them to go and see every school that they're considering, and even if they're committed to Miami, they commit to Miami because they love the program, they like what's going on. But I would like them to explore options. If you're Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, you could put your foot down and say that. You can't do that when you're 7-7 in your last 14 games.
Yeah,
being honest.
Can't be 0-2. And by the way, how about your position that you're getting recruited for, and it's not a big part of, like, if you're a wide receiver, you're getting recruited by the U right now, and your wide receivers aren't doing anything except for one guy. Like, there's better places to go. So I'd be real, real careful on that, too. I'm with you. Hey, by the way, you ready for a top 10? We haven't done it because of national games and stuff. I'm going to give this a shot, Blue. Tell me where you are, and we'll get everybody all fired up on their way to high school today. St. Thomas Aquinas comes in at number one, although shame on you for not playing that national game. Shame on you. Could have been done. Number two, Northwestern bouncing back. I'm drinking that Bulls Kool-Aid again. Central coming in at three. I'm with you. Bounce back. South Dade. Got a little scared last night, found a way to win, comes up, jumps up to four. Chaminade, I'm going with Chaminade tonight with you, staying at five. Western High School, six. They've got some tough games, including St. Thomas Aquinas down the road. Seven, Columbus, even though they were upset by South Dade. Eight, Cardinal Gibbons making a comeback. And number nine, I know how you feel about this, American Heritage Plantation. We haven't talked about Patrick Surtain and that team. They still got some players. And coming in at 10, MacArthur, for what they did last week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't disagree.
The Channing's team.
Who was your number three team, Miami Central?
Miami Central three, just behind Northwestern. They're going to play. They can change. They're going to play.
Yeah, and Gibbons and Heritage will play, too, in a couple of weeks.
That's
which
right.
Is going to be interesting. Yeah, that's a good top 10. I don't think anybody can argue, but all the teams right there have played. Cardinal Gibbons, if they get by the Heritage game, they may not lose the rest of the way because they're playing. I mean, and that's what I told people at Palmetto and who have played against Cardinal Gibbons. There's a reason why they're the defending state champions because they can rise up, and it's taken them a while to do it. But I like that. That's a good way. I think Northwestern's just an amazing. They came up with a big win last night against Miami Killian. I think that's a good one. St. Thomas. Obviously, that wasn't so much their fault that Bergen Catholic's parents didn't want them to come down. But they replaced the game. They'll be playing defending 8A state champion Jacksonville Mandarin.
That's a good game.
October 4th.
That's a good game to have.
Yeah.
No,
well,
it is.
It's good for the rep, too, you know. And certainly, you got to give St. Thomas credit. They're not afraid to go on the road, and they will go on the road again up there.
Blue, real quickly, we got some really good defense down. Who's got the number one defense that you've seen in Dade or Broward right now?
Northwestern. Yeah, it's awfully tough.
Well,
I mean, even
quick.
They showed it against IMG. You saw it. I mean, they made mistakes, but that defense is loaded with talent, loaded with Power 5 commits, and juniors. They're going to be tough. Palmetto's good. We'll see about Western. You'll have a good chance to see Western up first, up close and personal.
Look, I'm looking forward to seeing those safeties tonight for Western. Well, I really am. This should
James
be good.
Williams, yeah, he's a beast. He's a junior kid who may be as good as anybody in the country. Yeah, you got a good game, but that's a good top 10, Joe. Things will change because you know they will every week because nobody's afraid to play anybody, and that is the theme. If you're listening out there, nobody could ever say the South Florida teams duck one another because they play everybody. They play each other, and that it's taken a long time to get to that point, but they do it.
Are you drinking Dillard or Plantation Kool-Aid at all? Any of those guys for real?
I'm drinking Dillard a little bit because I like what Coach Frazier's doing up there, and they went up on Monday night when they really didn't have to and played at Pahokee and beat Pahokee just to stay in the rhythm. Plantation, we'll see. They're still in the district with St. Thomas Aquinas, so you know that's always gonna keep them on the edge. But we'll see what Plantation. They got a lot of good players. Steve Davis is a great coach.
Yeah, I love
been
Steve.
There for a while, but I like your top 10.
Right.
I think we need to print that.
All right, Blue. Wow. Listen, man, thank you. Thank you
right,
so
guys,
much. Maybe
weekend.
We'll run into you this weekend. Appreciate it. Larry Bluestein, our high school football insider. We're going from that. We're going to jump into some games you might want to pick this weekend. Some good. Brandon Lane
That's
will
right.
join us.
That's
we
right.
got him to come back for another week. He's hot right now. And so we'll get some of your college and pro games on that. We got a lot more stuff to get to.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here this morning.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to bring in our friend Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. He's the host of Believe in the Sharp Edge podcast and the Believe Podcast Network. And he was also, they made a movie about him years and years ago, Two for the Money, and he got played by Matthew
McConaughey. This is the last time we're bringing up his
movie.
I
bring it up because of who played his part. Like, if somebody plays your part and it's someone like Matthew McConaughey, you got to bring that up, and that's always got to be in your back.
Yeah, by the way, he was on TV a lot as his Texas team
was
losing.
He's the assistant coach,
LSU
right?
just scored again in that game. Hey, by the way, is that true last night that you took Tampa Bay?
Sure did.
Wow. What made you take them? I thought Carolina's defense was going to chew Tampa Bay's offense up.
Well, two things is that if you look at Tampa Bay's defense, you take away the two pick sixes, they actually played pretty well holding San Francisco down. So you had theoretically a better defense. Carolina's defense gave up 30 to the Rams. So if you're going to lay wood in the NFL, you got to have a superior defense, not a better defense, a superior defense. And if you have a team that plays a little D, you're going to be inside the number. And that was the difference. And both quarterbacks struggled. Both quarterbacks didn't play well. It was Tampa Bay's defense that held them down. And give Todd Bowles a ton of credit. People tend to forget how good of a defensive coordinator Todd Bowles was when he was with Bruce Arians at Arizona. Got him to the playoffs, I think, 2 or 3 years. So that team's back together. Tampa's going to be better than people think because of Arians and Bowles. Just sit back and watch. I wouldn't trust Cam Newton laying points to anybody. And I was at Buffalo Wild Wings. There was like eight guys that were watching the game that all had Carolina. And they see me fist pump. They said, "You took Tampa Bay in this game?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Would you trust Cam Newton laying that many points with the way he's playing? He didn't throw one ball downfield."
He's not Cam Newton anymore. He's not the Cam Newton.
No.
That's not the same guy throwing the ball. You're right.
No, and that's where everybody got tricked on the game last night. Everybody got tricked thinking Cam's just going to go in there. He missed wide open receivers.
Right.
Just the simple down and out route. He threw it 10 yards over the guy's head. He just doesn't look right. And listen, Jameis made some nice throws. If you can't handicap, I say there's three things you can't handicap: penalties, turnovers, and coaching stupidity. If Jameis Winston doesn't turn the ball over, Tampa Bay is in football games. They're a competitive football team. The only reason they get blown out because he still has the the crab leg residue from the free crab, the stolen crab legs at Florida State. So that when you get free crab versus bought crab,
yeah,
there's a lingering decision-making process. Might be the melted butter, but he didn't have time to get the melted butter because he stole it.
He went back in for the butter, didn't he? Yeah,
they went back in for the butter, yeah, but he made me money last night. And a game like that, and for your listeners out there, if you see that 90% of the betting public is on one side of a game, just take your opinion and throw it out the window and bet the other side. Vegas wasn't built by winners.
Yeah.
I always try to get on the opposite side of that 90%. Because if it were that easy, if we just saw 90% of the public was on one side of the game, you guys wouldn't be doing that radio show from there right now. Neither would I. We'd be at the penthouse at the Aria in a 19,000 square foot villa, and I can't say on air the carnage that would take place there.
Oh,
it would
correct.
Be a Star Trek moment. You know what a Star Trek moment is?
No, go ahead, please.
A Star Trek moment is where we go where no man has gone before.
Wow.
That's Star Trek.
That is beautiful.
Brandon, I got to ask you a question. How hard is it to kind of bet on those Thursday night games with that quick turnaround? Last night was different, obviously, because, like you said, 90% of the world was taking one side, so it might have been obvious on the other side. But how hard is it to kind of to handicap those Thursday night games with such a quick 3 or 4 day turnaround?
Tread lightly. I normally don't touch them, but it was the only game in town. And I rate my plays like a 25 dimers, the lowest rated play that I'll have, and that's what that game was last night. But Sunday, 100 dimer on Arizona, which had the miracle comeback. Monday night, 50 dimer on Oakland, which won outright. So I rate my plays so people know how to wager accordingly. So that was, I didn't trust, gun to my head, I didn't trust either one of those knuckleheads with the football last night, but the dog was appealing. Tread lightly. The totals are tough. Most of those, I think last year, the first four Thursday night games went over the posted total, flew over. And that posted total last night was 49. I mean, I know a couple guys on my site. Everybody on my site had Carolina except me, and a few guys had the over, so it wasn't a great night on the site. But it's my name on the site, so really all that matters is if I win. No, just kidding.
Hey, Brandon, I want to ask you about a game that's a little interesting with everything going on. Browns at the Jets. Who do you like in that one?
Let me ask you guys a question. How often do you guys get sick? Like, I never get sick.
Yeah.
I haven't been sick in 3 years.
Well, I get sick, but I still work, and I get everybody else sick Yeah.
I get it. So just stay with me for a minute. You're an elite athlete with the best doctors in the country. How does it go from, I'm not feeling well, let's get an antibiotic and nip this in the bud now, to full-blown mono, and you're going to miss who knows how much time? How does a 20-something-year-old kid with all these coaches around him, and I'm not feeling well, how do you get mono and just, I can't play for a while? To me, I drove around yesterday going, you've got to be kidding me how this kid gets sick. If not one thing, another for the Jets. So now that line was 2.5, Cleveland. Now it's up to 7. So I think it's more the line move, not so much of Darnold, because I believe Sam Darnold is not 5 points worth of line move versus Trevor Siemian. How soon we forget he started pretty much the whole year for Denver last year. I think it's Le'Veon Bell. I think that and Mosley being out. I think Le'Veon Bell being announced that he's not going to play, I think that's your significant line move. Now, for me, you start waving 7.5-point Monday Night Dogs in my face, I may have to take a step back, but let's see where that line ends up. I mean, like I said, it could be 7.5, 8. The public keeps hammering Cleveland. And I came on your show last week and talked about the fact that Cleveland was 118-1 straight up their last 20 openers since moving to Cleveland. So who were they to be laying points to Tennessee? That was you hit your ball 30 yards off the fairway. You get over that was teed up in the rough, and we all should hit hybrid and went for the green. Instead, we all kind of looked at it and said, yeah, it was a gift laying us in the face. So Cleveland will probably rebound. Cleveland will probably win the game, but I don't know about, laying 8 with him on the road.
Well, let me ask you about a couple of college football games here in the state of Florida. Stanford at UCF, and UCF's been whining and crying and wanting respect, so they get to play a Power 5 school. Stanford didn't look very good against USC. What happens in that one?
It's hard to believe that Brian Shaw is getting this many points on the road. Guys, there are coaches out there that if I saw them in public, I'd walk up to them, I'd tap them on the shoulder, and I'd stick out my hand. And they go, what are you doing? I'm like, do you have any idea how much money you've cost me in your career? Let's go. Let's go get in your wallet. Yeah, I need, from you, I need about 35 grand. Your Shaw is one of those coaches.
Oh.
He's made some decisions in my life that have cost me probably 30 grand. He's 30. Brian Billick's about a million. I'd probably, you know.
Brian, yeah, Brian on. We'll tell him that. That's good.
I'd have to follow Brian Billick to his house. Give me your house. Do Warren Beatty and Bugsy when he went up to the guy and said, how much you want for your house? I'd say, Brian, get out of your house and take me your house. Because you owe me like 1.4 for your moronic decisions. Shaw's one of those. So you're asking me about a game that's hard for me to be objective. If UCF is going to make a statement, it would be here. What would concern me about isn't that Costello's coming back for Stanford.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, right. He is. Concerns me is that a true freshman lit you up like he did in your house. So for me, I think UCF's the right side of the game.
And see, I want to bring it back here locally, Dolphins and Patriots. This line started at, what, 14.5? It's up to 19 or 19.5, depending where you go. Is this spread's going to be like this all year for the Dolphins? And this week, would you lay the 19.5 or 20 points and take the Patriots?
It's so great you brought that up, because I did some shows yesterday, and I said, if people remember the year they went 18-0, and I don't know if people, you know, let their minds go back. I remember stuff like this because it's my job. They came out of the box and covered 11 straight games to start the year. And each week, Vegas kept increasing the number, but Vegas couldn't catch up to them as a team. 11 straight. I think they came out of their bye. They were laying 14 on the road at Buffalo in a Sunday night game and won the game like 52-10. And then Vegas said, okay, that's it. And the next week at home, Philly was coming out of their bye week. A.J. Philly was getting the start because McNabb was hurt. And the Patriots were a 23.5-point home favorite. And if you remember the game, it was a 7-point game in the fourth. Philly was driving them 2 minutes to go. They got down the Patriot 20, and then he got greedy and threw a pick in the right corner of the end zone. I had Philly that night, so I remember it vivid because I wanted the outright win. Vegas is not going to let this team do that to them again, which is evident of this line here. It has nothing to do with Baltimore beating Miami the way it is. It's Vegas saying to themselves, we had the Patriots as a 6.5-point home favorite against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, and we got our butt handed to us, and they won the game 30-3. You're going to see this. I actually like Miami in the game. I call me crazy. I wouldn't you know, use the game or bet the game or tease the game, but if I had to play the game, I can't pass up 19.5-point divisional, double-digit divisional home dogs. I can't. They've hit it over 70% clip the last 15 years. Double-digit divisional home dogs. This is a place where historically, last six times down here, Patriots 0-6 against the spread. It's a weird dynamic. If they cover this game, let's say they win this game 45-7. Guys, you're going to see. This is the largest road favorite in NFL history, by the way.
Yeah.
Right here, 9-20.
Wow.
So they've already made history here. If they cover this game, like I said, I'm a sucker for a home dog. Like that, Arizona is my best bet last Sunday. I can't pass up. I'm probably sitting there, it'll be 21-0 the first quarter going, yeah, great home dog here. This dog had fleas, man. Go.
All right. Well, listen, we got to let you run. But boy, you have seen the Dolphins play, right, and that roster. So, I'm going with you.
But here's another thing. The dynamic here is interesting because – historically, Belichick doesn't run it up on his assistant coaches who have gone on to coach someplace else. So Flores and that relationship is, again.
All right, that's different. All right, that's a good take, though. I like that. Brandon, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Got it, guys. Be good.
It's Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com, host of Believe in the Sharp Edge podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
All right, we're going to jump in the 8 o'clock hour. A lot more to get to. Man, he is
wow.
He is something else.
I want to do that Star Trek night with him.
Jeez,
in the Army.
Yeah, wow. Where the hell is he going on this one?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.